The next paragraph, paragraph Chavtes 29, we included earlier when we spoke about the people that Rabbeinu Zal encountered in Istanbul who insulted him, and they tried every which way in the world to get him to tell them who he really is and what his mission is. And they suspected him of being a spy and a troublemaker and everything, and they made his life extremely difficult. And one of them insulted him in an incredible way, and that person ended up dying shortly after his return to Ukraine. And Rabbeinu Zal had explained to the person who was with him why that had to happen, why it is that it wasn't that Rabbeinu Zal killed him, or it wasn't that he was dying only because he insulted Rabbeinu Zal, but rather when a tzaddik has to go through something very difficult. For example, when a tzaddik is trying to accomplish something very significant and the Yetzirah doesn't want to let him do it, and the Yetzirah has the ability to prosecute, to put obstacles in the way, and to justify why the tzaddik should not attain what he's trying to attain, and the tzaddik is battling that, sometimes one of the only ways for him to succeed is if he's willing to undergo severe, severe suffering, such as being insulted, this type of thing. And in order for it to happen, Hashem chooses a person who for other reasons deserves to die, based on other sins that he's done. He's on death row. He's a dead man. Hashem takes that person and uses him to be the one to insult the tzaddik or to hurt the tzaddik in different ways. And then when the person ends up dying, people realize the importance of a tzaddik. They look at it as because he insulted the tzaddik, he died. But it's not that the tzaddik brought about his death, because the pasuk says, "Gam enoish la tzaddik loy toiv," that tzaddikim prefer not to punish anybody or not to have anybody punished on their behalf. We know that one of the things that can block a Jew from entering into Gan Eden is if that Jew is responsible for someone else being punished. This is one of the reasons why before we go to sleep every night, we say a special tefillah where we say, "Hashem, I hereby declare that I forgive anyone that has wronged me in any way possible, begufi, bemamoini, bechvoidi, bechol ashali, bein ba'ines, bein marotzoin." And we plead there, we say, "V'lo ye'onesh shum odom besibosi." No person should be punished on my behalf because of me. I don't want any Jew getting any kind of punishment because of me. So here in the case of the tzaddik, we see that Hashem orchestrates it in such a way that the one that's used to accomplish this is a person who already had to die for other reasons. Paragraph Lamed 30. While Rabbeinu Zal was in Eretz Yisrael, he spent tremendous amount of time and intensity learning and davening. And every day he would write Chidushei Torah for himself. He would write new thoughts of Torah that he came to when he was in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbeinu Zal prided himself, and he said, "The difference between my Torah when I was outside of Eretz Yisrael and my Torah here is like night and day. Nothing, no comparison whatsoever between the Torah that I had when I was in Eretz Yisrael to what I have now." And each and every single day, people came to him, rabbis came to him, other people came to him to hear words of wisdom from him. Paragraph Lamed Aleph 31. One day, one of the very respected great rabbis in Eretz Yisrael at the time, who was known in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Loretz, and everybody praised him that he knows the entire Shas almost by heart, and that he's also very knowledgeable in Kabbalah, in secrets of Torah, this rabbi came to Rabbeinu Zal, and at the time he asked that everybody leave the room. Nobody else should be present when they're meeting. And this rabbi pleaded and begged Rabbeinu Zal. He said to him, "We all know that your honor has not come to Eretz Yisrael like other people, you know, that coming for small reasons, coming looking for small things." For example, like the Gemara says, a person who walks 4 cubits in Eretz Yisrael is guaranteed Olam Haba, or other things like that. But rather, we realize that your honor has come to Eretz Yisrael with Moichen de Gadlus, with big, big eyes, and looking to achieve a very high level of understanding of Hashem. Therefore, we beg of you to please give us an idea as to what aspect of Eretz Yisrael you came for and you're going for, and what you're trying to achieve here in Avodas Hashem. And I'm prepared to serve you. This rabbi said to Rabbeinu Zal, who at the time was approximately a 25-year-old man, this great rabbi, renowned rabbi, said to Rabbeinu Zal, I'm prepared to serve you with body and soul, anything I can do to serve you. Rabbeinu Zal responded, and he said, my good friend, please don't press me for this, because this is not an easy thing at all to reveal to you what avodah I'm trying to achieve here and why I came here. And it's possible that I'm even sworn from Hashem not to reveal it. The rabbi didn't stop. The rabbi insisted and begged, and he said, please, at least give us a chiddush, one chiddush, something that'll give us some insight about your trip to Eretz Yisrael. And we have no ulterior motives. We're only looking purely to hear the words of Hashem from your mouth. Maybe we'll get inspiration. Maybe this will give us new inspiration, new motivation to come close to Hashem. And maybe we'll be able to understand a little bit of what you'll tell us. Because he insisted, Rabbeinu Zal got ready. He prepared himself. And he started getting excited. You know, they saw like the heat turning up. And his face turned fiery, like inflamed. And because of his incredible hislavus, it was like his hair was standing on end. And he threw off his hat, and he started speaking in a very excited way. And Rabbeinu Zal said to him, do you know the secret kavonus, the Kabbalistic kavonus of the mitzvah of tefillin? So the rabbi responded a little, based on the writings of the Arizal and other Sifrei Kabbalah, what's written about the mitzvah of tefillin. So Rabbeinu Zal said, no, that's not the derech of kavonas tefillin. And since you don't know the kavonas of tefillin, you don't know the secret of the 4 directions of Eretz Yisrael. And now I'm going to start explaining. And when Rabbeinu Zal started speaking, blood started coming from his throat. And as soon as Rabbeinu Zal saw that, he understood to slam on the brakes, that this was Hashem saying, stop. So Rabbeinu Zal said to this rabbi, you see with your own eyes that heaven does not want me to reveal, that they don't want me to say anything about what I'm doing here. And as soon as this rabbi saw this, he immediately bowed his head, and he begged Rabbeinu Zal to forgive him for the fact that he pressed him this way, and he was terrified. And he refused to leave until Rabbeinu Zal said, I forgive you completely. You know, the fact that he caused blood to come from inside, which was a clear indication that Hashem did not want Rabbeinu Zal to reveal anymore. Paragraph Lamed Beis, 32. One interesting episode that we didn't mention earlier, when Rabbeinu Zal was in the city of Tveria, where we said he spent a major part of his time in Eretz Yisrael, one of the renowned, wealthy rabbis there, Reb Moshe, the son of Reb Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk. We know that Reb Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, I believe he wrote the Sefer pre-Latzadik, and he was the one who led the students of the Baal Shem Tov in the pilgrimage to Eretz Yisrael. When the students of the Baal Shem Tov made a decision to make Aliyah, to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they all moved in that area to Tveria, he was the leader. Reb Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk was respected as the leader among the Talmidim that made the Aliyah. So he had a son, Reb Moshe, who was respected and wealthy. And this Reb Moshe sent a messenger to Rabbeinu Zal, saying that he'd like to become his son-in-law. He wants to marry one of Rabbeinu Zal's daughters. When Rabbein Azal heard about this, he said, how can one refuse a shidduch? And he said, obviously, this comes from Hashem, and I guess Hashem wants my daughter to be in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbein Azal didn't say anything more. The Shadchan left, the one who was trying to set this up, and responded to Rav Moshe positive, that Rabbi Nachman, Rabbein Azal agreed for you to marry his daughter, the oldest daughter that was ready for a shiduchim. Immediately, they made a beautiful suda, a beautiful meal, and they invited all the great rabbis that were there at the time, both the Lithuanian rabbis and the Polish rabbis, the Hasidim, the Misnagdim, all of them came to this suda, and there was tremendous joy. And there was a lot of Divrei Torah that was said at the suda, and the one who spoke, the leader, the one who was respected most by all of them, was the one who had come to Rabbein Azal begging him to reveal to him what mission he was on, what he came to Eretz Yisrael for. While they were speaking, while the rabbis they were speaking, somebody quoted a certain Rashi in the Gemara, and they tried remembering where this Rashi is, and they asked this rabbi, none of the rabbis could remember where it was. And it was unusual, it was strange, because the whole group there had made a siyum on Shas, they had completed Shas not long before. And these were very knowledgeable people. How is it that none of them remember where this Rashi is? And Rabbein Azal sat quietly, not giving off any indication at all that he knew where it was, sitting quietly as if he has nothing to offer, nothing to say. However, when he saw how much pain they were in, that they couldn't find this, it seems they needed to look up the Rashi, they needed to see exactly what they were, and nobody could remember where it was, and they pleaded with him. So Rabbein Azal said, isn't it a Rashi in Masechet Zvachim? And among the Breslover, it's known that he was referring to a Rashi in Zvachim, page 45, the Rashi that begins with the words Hilchasila Meshicha, that about a certain law that will only really come into effect when Mashiach comes. Sure enough, they checked and saw, and they were elated. Everybody was happy that they found it, Baruch Hashem, that they resolved the doubt. And this suda continued from Mincha Gedoila, which means from midday, until dawn, till towards morning of the following day. And the shidduch was consummated. However, when Rabbein Azal's daughter is in Ukraine, so she'll have to travel from Ukraine to Eretz Yisrael. However, shortly after Rabbein Azal left Eretz Yisrael, this young man, this Reb Moshe, the son of Reb Nachman de Vitebsk, passed away. He was nifter. And Rabbein Azal ended up doing a shidduch with that daughter with a different rabbi, with the rabbi of Volochysk, one of the Hasidic leaders at the time in Ukraine. And this Volochysker made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael afterwards and took his son, the son-in-law of Rabbein Azal, with him, and the daughter-in-law, Rabbein Azal's daughter. So that even though the original shidduch, the chassan passed away, which would seem to imply that Rabbein Azal's daughter is not going to be in Eretz Yisrael, she ended up getting engaged and marrying a person in Ukraine whose father made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and took his son and daughter-in-law with him. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, we see that Rabbein Azal's words, if Rabbein Azal said something, you saw that was fulfilled, it came true, that his daughter would be in Eretz Yisrael. As we saw that there was nothing that Rabbein Azal ever said would be, that we didn't see it carried out. Baruch Hashem.